Well, good evening, everybody. Good to see you. I hope you had a good afternoon and a restful one and got some lunch and all that stuff that you're supposed to do on Sunday afternoon, I guess. How many of you got a nap this afternoon? All right, these are the people that are smiling. That's good. I've probably shared this with you before, but you do need to know this. This is important, that when the Bible refers to believers as saints, it's actually saint as an acrostic that stands for Sunday afternoon is nap time. And if you want to be a true saint, then make sure you take a nap on Sunday afternoon so you can smile in the Sunday evening service. If you didn't get a nap this afternoon, this is not the time to begin one. If you're wondering when you can do that, next Wednesday, I think pastor's preaching. I don't think there's a problem at all. We'll go ahead and next. All right. Hey, we're going to be in the book of Matthew. Take your Bible, please, and turn with me to Matthew in the 22nd chapter. And we'll look together at what the scriptures have for us here tonight. I am excited about what God's going to do in our hearts this week and the opportunities that we'll have to reach out this week. Both of those things are important. So let me encourage you again, as I did this morning, regarding them. That is, to be here this week so God can speak to your heart. Thank you for coming tonight. Please come tomorrow night. I will be aware of how long I preach and such, because I know that there are a lot of things going on in the schedule. You that have children, I want you to know that I'll be aware of time so that you can feel at ease coming, even with school and things throughout the week. So be here every service that you can be, expecting God to speak to your hearts. And then, sincerely, really, work at getting people here this week. Ask people that you know to come. Let them come and at least hear the truth of the scriptures and hear about who Jesus Christ is and give God the opportunity to convince them of their need of Jesus Christ. I mentioned it this morning in the service. I'll mention it again tonight and probably in services to follow, just the importance and value of your working at inviting people. Even if you don't normally, maybe you feel like, I don't want to pressure anybody. Well, I don't mean you have to pressure them unnecessarily, but do ask people. Do ask them to come, be your guest, to sit with you, introduce them to people, and let's ask God to do a special work in the hearts of everybody who's in the service, yours and theirs as well. I'm telling you, it'd be wonderful if you invited somebody, they came, were convinced, trusted Christ, we're a part of this church, and then that opens up the door to a whole new group of people who need to hear the gospel as well. I believe that there still probably are some people in West Virginia that need to be saved. At least that's what I'm assuming. And so you probably know some of them, so let's work at getting them here. All right. Matthew chapter 22. Real quickly, before we look at the scriptures, in the back of the auditorium, there's a table we have set up, and we have at least a sampling of almost everything that we normally carry. We have another shipment coming because we unloaded a lot of it last week, and so we have more coming. But I want to share several things with you that we do have, all kinds of stuff. If you have questions about any of it, ask us. But we have several CDs that we have put out. Brittany has a couple of piano CDs. One is entitled Faith is the Victory. This is one that she did years and years and years ago. We sold out of them, and so we just got them back in stock. So Faith is the Victory. This is a fast-paced, like what you heard play tonight, very revival type music, all her own arrangements, and I think you'd enjoy this. This is a good one to have in the vehicle, keep you awake and keep you going. Very fun. Make sure you have cruise control if you have that CD in. It's a good thing to use. And then her second piano CD is called His Presence, My Peace, and this one was put out about 6 weeks ago, just came out. And this is a little bit more reflective in nature, but songs that will be a blessing and encouragement to you, I'm confident. Actually, the subtitle of it is Piano Reflections on Psalm 46, which is one of my favorite psalms. It's a psalm, verse 10, where the Bible says, "Be still and know that I'm God." I love the passage. In fact, I've preached it here again. I may again. But I've preached it here before, and I may again. It's just a tremendous passage, and I love it very much. And so that's kind of the thought process behind this CD. So you'll enjoy it. Songs on this, Breathe on Me, Breath of God, How Great Thou Art, Great is Thy Faithfulness, Each Step I Take, Beyond the Sunset, I Am His, He is Mine, and a number of others. That's there. And then we have a family CD. Well, it's just Brittany and I, but vocal CD. And it has 12 different songs. We don't have the kiddos on any of them yet. We're working on it. It'll come. But it's entitled Rejoice. I think you'd enjoy it. This is it's professionally recorded, not professional voices, only professionally recorded. and I think it's something that you would enjoy, and so I'd encourage you to get it. The CDs are $10 a piece, but we have a Thompson Trio package, where if you get all three of them, you can get them for $35. So I want to encourage you. No, just kidding. You can get all three of them for $25 if you want all three of them, if they'd be encouragement and a blessing to you. Please, you can ask Brett about it after the service. You can ask me too, but I'll just make up stuff. But you can ask Brett and find out answers that are legitimate. Okay, before we read Matthew 22, how many of you, it's been a few years since you've taken a quiz? Has it been a little bit of time? All right, time to dust off the quiz-taking part of your brain. Here's the way this quiz is going to work. I'm going to give to you a vocation. I'm going to tell you who someone is, and I want you to tell me what that person does. I'll give you, for instance, if I were to say a baker, you would say bakes, because that's what a baker does. Let's practice. You ready? A baker? Well done. You're at 100% thus far. Let's see. A fisherman? You guys know that one really well. All right, a baker bakes, a fisherman fishes, a pilot. Okay, a pilot flies. Here's one I'm always interested to hear what the guys have to say. A seamstress. A seamstress doesn't seam, guys. A seamstress sews. Okay, so a baker bakes, a pilot flies, a fisherman fishes, a seamstress sews. A Christian. Now, you guys were doing really, really well until we got up to that point. Let's get a running start and have your answer ready. And in case you're wondering, Brother Tim, are you setting us up? Of course I'm setting you up. But have an answer anyway, and go ahead and say it out nice and strong when we get there. Here we go. Ready? A baker? You know that one. A pilot? A fisherman? A seamstress? A Christian? Okay. Now, there are a number of things that people could, that you could say, and a lot of things might come to your mind. Let me ask you this. A baker bakes. However, are there other things that a baker does besides baking? Sure. There's all kinds of things. In fact, there are things that he does in his baking, but he's not going to be effective as a baker unless he knows that his main priority is to bake. Wouldn't that be true? Okay, or a fisherman that doesn't know that he's supposed to fish, will he be much of a fisherman? Would you be interested in getting onto the plane that is piloted by a pilot that doesn't know his main job is to fly the plane? Okay, no. A baker is effective as a baker if he knows that he's supposed to bake, and that's what he does and does well. A pilot knows that he's supposed to fly, and he must do it well. A fisherman that he fishes, a seamstress that she sews. Then I would say, now forgive me, but I would say that we're going to be less than effective as Christians, as believers, if we don't know what it is our main job is in the first place. Now, there's a number of things that I heard people say, pray. I think I heard someone say, witness. Someone might say, read your Bible. A number of things that people could say, but there is a correct answer to this. And this is an important thing. In fact, I will say this, that what we're about to look at in the Scriptures has been, for me, life-changing. There are probably three or four passages of Scripture that significantly changed my life. Now, all of the Scripture does, and God works little bits by little bits. This is one of the passages that actually, I mean, just blew up in my life. It just absolutely blew up in my heart and my life, changed everything about me when this truth came to me. And I want to share it with you tonight. And it's absolutely necessary at the beginning of this week for us to get this, because everything that comes out of the rest of this week will come out of this service and the truth that I'm about to share with you. There was a man who was a lawyer. He was a studier of the law of God in the Scriptures. He would have been a Jewish man who considered himself to be as much of a child of God as a Jew can be. He was, after all, a studier of the law of God. He would have had more of the Old Testament memorized than you and I have read in the last week. This man was a smart man and considered himself to be a child of God. He came to the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 22, and he asks him a question. And that's where I want us to pick up in Matthew chapter 22. Look down in verse number 34, where the Bible says, "But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked Jesus a question, tempting him and saying, 'Master, Which is the great commandment in the law? And I'll stop real quickly and look up here. In essence, what this man is asking the Lord Jesus Christ is this. He's saying, Master, what is the most important thing? Of all of the commandments that we as sons of God, as children of God, of all the things that God gave to us, what is the most important thing? The basic, the foundation. What is the first, the great commandment? And Jesus Christ answers this lawyer in verse number 37. And he says unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, with all thy mind. Another passage says, with all thy strength. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And look at verse number 40, where the Bible says, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I ask you, please, to meet with us in a special way as we look at what your word has to say. Father, the light of your word, may it search us, may it try us. Holy Spirit of God, will you please reveal to us things that are not as they ought to be. And me first, Father, please. And then certainly to those to whom I'm privileged to preach. Holy Spirit, I need your help, and I confess that. I cannot in and of myself do anything to convince anyone of anything that's going to be eternal, but you can. Help my speech to be clear. I pray that you'd help me to stay focused on what it is you've given to us here in this passage. Help me to be succinct with what I say, not to take more time on things than I should, but to say everything that needs to be said. And I ask this, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for your glory, and certainly you've said for our good. Amen. Matthew 22 is absolutely a great passage because it lays out for us the first and great commandment. Here's the statement that is going to help. I mean, this is the reason why we've gathered together tonight, and this is what is going to be the foundation for the rest of this week, so please don't miss it. Here's the statement. There is nothing more important than your relationship with God. There's nothing more important than your relationship with God. It is true that a baker has to bake in order to be a baker, and a pilot has to fly in order to be a pilot, to be effective. A fisherman has to fish, a seamstress has to sew. But I'm telling you, if believers, if Christians are going to be what we ought to be, if we are going to shine and be a witness as we ought to be, if we're going to be able to pray with any sincerity and receiving answers of prayer, if we're going to be able to, if we're going to read the scriptures and understand, if we are going to be what we ought to be as believers, then it will begin with the first and great commandment, which ought to become and must become our focus, and that is that there is nothing more important than my relationship with God, that I love God with all my heart, all my soul, all my mind, all my strength. And the second commandments like unto it, love my neighbor as myself. But notice especially verse number 40 where Jesus Christ says, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. In other words, everything else that is supposed to happen in my life is going to happen if I take care of this one thing first. If I will dedicate my heart, my mind, if I will give myself to my relationship with God, then all of the other stuff that's supposed to happen in my life will be taken care of. See, here's what happens. Sometimes we, as believers, get what we oftentimes refer to as the cart before the horse. That is, we will take the things that we see us doing and we will make those the most important things. And then we will hope or think that by taking care of those things, that means that we have a relationship with God. Look, friends, that doesn't work in our relationship with each other, and it doesn't work in a relationship with God. It is important, it is true, it is right that we learn what the Bible says about all kinds of things in our life. Our dress, our music, our choices, our entertainments, all of those things are important. But all of those decisions and all of those, if I may use the word standards or principles that we live by, must flow out of a relationship with God. Now, it's easily provable in the scriptures that there's nothing more important than our relationship with God, though it's stated very clearly here by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. But if you consider even creation, creation is proof of the importance of our relationship with God. Remember when God created the world? I mean, you don't actually remember it, but we read about it in Genesis chapter 1. In Genesis, the Bible says that God created the world. And on the first day, he said, let there be light. There was light. Second day, he separated the waters above from the waters below. He made the air, the firmament. On day three, the dry land, the trees, flowers, vegetation. Day four, the sun, the moon, the stars. Day five, birds to fly in the air, fish to swim in the sea. Day six, God made all animals. And then the Bible says that he took the dust of the ground and he formed man. And he breathed into the nostrils, the nose and mouth of man, the breath of life. And man became a living soul. Now, when God created mankind, he created him, the Bible says, in his own image. Now, that can mean a lot of different things. One of the things I believe that it means is the fact that God made man as a reflection of himself. That is, we serve a triune God. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, one God exhibited in three persons, understandable, not in our finite minds, and yet it's what the scriptures seem to teach for certain. And in us, he has made body, soul, and spirit. So that there are three parts, though we're one person. Now, we're not a perfect image, but we're made in the image of God. Now, why did God do that? Why did God make mankind in his own image? Because we are created beings. Why did he do that? And the answer is because God desired to have a relationship with mankind. It was God's design for Adam and then eventually Eve and all mankind afterwards for God to be able to have a relationship with this being that he created. And then the Bible says that when Eve was tempted, took of the fruit, gave to Adam, sin entered into the world. And the Bible tells us in the New Testament that death came by sin. Death, literally separation. So all of a sudden, the very reason why we were created was taken out of the way, out of the picture, when sin enters into the world. But God is so interested in having a relationship with mankind that in Genesis 3, verse number 15, he says, in essence, someday I'm going to send someone who is going to restore again that relationship between God and sinful mankind. 4,000 years later, the Lord Jesus Christ takes on flesh. He becomes a man. He lives a perfect life you and I could not live. He dies a death on the cross that he does not deserve to die for the purpose, as we heard about this morning, of making it possible for us to have our sins that separate us from God forgiven. And the Bible says that when we trust the Lord Jesus Christ, that Christ brings us to God. There's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. The word mediator means a go-between. In other words, he makes possible what could not be possible in bringing us to God. Why? Why is that so important? Why is that so valuable? And the answer is, listen, not so much so that we could have heaven to look forward to, though I do look forward to it. Not so much so I could walk on streets of gold or pick fruit from a tree or swim in a crystal river. That's not the reason. The reason why Jesus Christ died, was buried, and rose again was so that God and man, us, so that we could have a relationship with him again. In fact, Jesus says this about eternal life. And this is life eternal, that they may know thee, the one true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. Now, friends, look at me, please. And let me tell you again. Based upon the authority of the Scripture, of what Jesus Christ says, and what is obvious in creation, and the very reason for the cross of Christ, there is nothing more important than your relationship with God. On one side, if you look right, act right, do everything according to the structure of the people that surround you, but you don't walk with God, you don't have a relationship with God, then you're missing it. On the other side, if you refuse God completely, if you say no to God and reject God, then you're missing it completely. There's nothing more important than your relationship with God. Now, if that is true, and it is, then may I make several suggestions to you regarding your relationship with God. Four things. If you have pen and paper, would you write these things down and consider them? Number one, make sure that it's God that you love. Christians, believers, listen. Hey, make sure that it's God that you love. The Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Scripture also says you can't love God and mammon, money, things, stuff. Okay, So make sure that it's God you love. Don't allow anything. Don't allow anything in your life to come between you and your relationship with God. There are things, obviously, that are wicked that should not be a part of our life because they hinder our relationship with God. They may be sin, and sin, by its very explanation, the Scripture, is what separates us from God. But there could also be things that in and of themselves may not be awful, wicked, sin or sinful or godless, but they can still drive a wedge between us and God. Make sure it is God that you love. There is nothing more important than your relationship with God. Make sure it's God that you love. You know, sometimes there can be things that we don't even recognize. I've been burdened recently regarding my relationship with the Lord and the relationship with the Lord that the people that I have privilege to preach to have. And it's struck me that while Satan may not be able to have the souls of the believers to whom I preach, Satan has been very effective at putting enough stuff in front of us and around us to pull us off from just dedicating ourselves to having a personal relationship with God and with His Son, Jesus Christ. He puts things in our hands or in front of our eyes or in our ears. He fills us. He fills stuff all around us. The world offers so many things that can try to satisfy what only God can satisfy. But we will, for whatever reason, because it's the nature of our flesh, we will seek after the things of the world, thinking if I just have a little bit more, I'll be satisfied. Things that are good, like a job, can become something that can pull my heart from seeking after God and me loving God with all my heart, soul, and my mind. I start off with a noble cause, like providing for my family. But eventually, it becomes something where it pulls away from that which is the most important. Something as simple as a cell phone. How many of you have a smartphone? Can I see your hand? How many of you have a dumb phone? How many of you have a phone that actually plugs into the wall? Wow, I wondered if those still existed. So, okay. I have a smartphone. I have a phone because it helps me with directions, because it helps me with all kinds of things. I have this cell phone. On this cell phone, I have more than just a phone, obviously. It has a camera. It has map programs. It has games and all kinds of stuff. It has my email. I can check my email at any time. Okay. Well, those things in and of themselves aren't wicked. They're not bad. But did you know that something like that can begin to pull our attention? Here's what I found myself doing. Maybe you'll find yourself in the same boat. I found myself, every time I sat down with 5 extra minutes, just waiting for something, going to the doctor, sitting down, first thing I do, reach for the phone, open it up, check email, look at the news, pull up a game. I'm not really big on games, but whatever it may be. Watch a video, watch something online. And while none of those things in and of themselves are bad, let me tell you something. Sometimes that can begin to pull our hearts just because the time that we use to take time to just sit and be still and talk to the Lord or consider things that are right or in our hearts speak to God just begin to be pulled away. Isn't Satan smart? To use something like that, make sure it's God that you love. I'm going to be real transparent with you. And I'm going to tell you something that God dealt in my heart about. And I'm not saying that the same dealing should be with you. I'm only telling you what God did for me. Okay? When God began to work in my heart at a specific time regarding this, one of the things that I love to do is I love to hunt. I love to hunt big game, deer specifically. In Tennessee, I don't know what it's like here, but in Tennessee, you can get a permit that allows you to get 3 doe a day in rifle season. And so, Seth and I hunt together. I mean, I love hunting. I was talking to the Lord one day and just spending some time with Him in preparation for some services in which I was going to preach. And I was considering about my relationship with the Lord and just saying, hey, is there anything, God? Is there anything between me and you? It's a good thing to say, by the way, when you're talking to the Lord. Lord, is there anything between me and you? And God said, hey, Tim, why don't you give me hunting? And I said, is there anything else that perhaps, is there anything else between me and you? Because God, hunting is great. I get up early in the morning. I go out. I carry a New Testament when I go hunting. And while I'm waiting for the deer to come, I read. And I spend time with my son. All of that's good stuff. So, that's all good things. And God was just pressing, saying, Tim, why don't you give me that? And I'm being serious. Sincerely, I argued with the Lord for a while about it. Until finally, because I heard somebody say once that there was nothing more important than your relationship with the Lord, I said to God, okay, it's yours. My hands are off. Okay, now I'm not saying that that's what you ought to do. All I'm saying is, look, friend, I don't know what it is, but just make sure it's God that you love. Don't let anything crowd in on your relationship with God. Not that you can't enjoy life. You ought to enjoy life. My goodness, if anybody ought to enjoy life, it's believers. But I'm telling you, in the same time, enjoy life isn't license to live for this world. We're still living for eternity. We ought to enjoy life in living for eternity, in doing things that matter, in doing things that count. Make sure it's God that you love. Secondly, ask God to increase your love. Ask God to increase your love. Hey, how many of you know that we serve a prayer-answering God? Do you know that? Okay, if you talk to God, He will answer. He really does. He loves to. The Bible says if we pray according to His will, we know that He hears us. So many promises in the Scriptures about how He, like a loving Father, loves to give good gifts to His children. Okay, this is all wonderful. Well, here's what I know about prayer. The Bible says that if I pray according to His will, then we know that He hears us. And if He hears us, then we know we have the things of which we ask Him. Now, sometimes I don't always know what the will of God is regarding the prayer request that I have. Sometimes I have desires, that when I talk to the Lord, in all honesty, when I'm asking the Lord about it, I don't know what His will is. And I'll ask Him, I'll tell Him, Lord, I'm not certain what You want to do about this. I will tell You what I would kind of like. And if You want to change my heart about it, then have at it. But this is kind of what I'd like. And I don't always know what His will is regarding things. However, when it comes to my relationship with Him, I know based on the authority of the Bible what His desire is. So that if I come to God and I ask God, God, would You please increase my heart, increase my desire for You, increase my love for You, God, then I know that's a prayer that He wants to answer and that He will answer. In fact, I began to pray prayers like this. I began to pray prayers, Lord, please help my heart to seek after You like the deer pants after the water brook. Bind my heart to Yours with a chain that cannot be broken and bring me ever closer to You. And I begin to ask God to do that. Now, I will warn you. Listen, I mean this. I will warn you that if you begin to ask God to do things like this in your life, just be aware of the fact that in His bringing us to Him, oftentimes there are things in our life of which we're not even aware that they're a hindrance in our relationship with Him, that God may begin to remove from our hands or pry our fingers off of. And I will tell you, believers, listen to me, I will tell you that sometimes it does for us hurt. Sometimes there are things that happen in the process of coming closer to God where in the prying off of my fingers off of these things, it begins, it causes a wound. But I'm telling you, the outcome of a relationship with God that is alive and vivacious, that is not fake, that is not a fraud, that is not put on, that is not made up of a bunch of things that I have in order in my life and the way that I look or the haircut I have or the handshake that I have, but that is based out of a relationship with God and being able to live a life with joy on the inside, even in the midst of trial. And in sorrow, I have peace. I'm telling you, there is much more value to that than anything my hands could hold. So ask God. Listen. Ask God. This ought to be a prayer regularly on the lips of every Christian, of every believer. God, please increase my love for you. And if that is not a prayer that you pray on a regular basis, then let me encourage you to make it a daily prayer, a daily prayer. God, increase my love for you. Help me, dear God, to love you more. And ask him to. And he'll do it. So number one, make sure it's God that you love. Number two, ask God to increase your love. Number three, spend the time. Spend the time. Okay, relationships take time. How many of you are already aware of this? How many of you are married? Then you should be aware of this already. Relationships take time. I told you this morning that Britt and I, we dated all the way through college. And when I say dated, I attended Pensacola Christian College. And at that time, the rules were if you touched somebody, you got shot. So, there, you know, it was, when I say dated, what we did was we went to meals and we went to church together with 5,000 other people and staff hid in the bushes with shotguns. So it was a different kind of dating than what you may have been thinking. Yeah. So this is our relationship. Okay. So in our relationship, when we first met, end of our freshman year, we started spending time together, and the more time we spent together, the closer our relationship got. Okay, ladies, you tell me what would happen if in our relationship, as we begin this relationship, I like her, she likes me, we eat meals together, all three meals together, and we go to church together. What would happen if in our relationship, if I call Brittany up one morning and I say, hey, Brittany, look, oh, man, I'm sorry, I got up kind of late. I'm not going to be able to make it to breakfast this morning. I'll see you at lunchtime. Click. Lunchtime. Oh, look, I forgot. I have a history quiz next hour. I'm not going to be able to eat lunch today. I'm going to have to go study. I'm sorry. I'll see you at supper time. Supper time rolls around. Hey, Britt, some of the guys are playing ball tonight, and I really want to, it's going to be a good game. I really want to go play. So I already had a bite to eat, so I'm going to go play ball. I'll see you tomorrow morning. Next morning. You're not going to believe this. I slept in again. I'll see you at lunchtime. Click. Lunchtime. Ah, Greek quiz. Ah, I've got to learn those Greek vocab. I'm going to be a preacher, so I got to know Greek for some reason. I have to know Greek. And so, I'm sorry, I can't eat lunch with you. I'll see you at supper time. Hey, tonight they're playing football. So tonight, I'm going to go play football. Hey, there's some of your friends. Why don't you go eat with them, and I'll see you later. Okay, so ladies, you tell me what's going to happen to me in this relationship if that's how our relationship goes. Do you know what it means to get the boot? Okay. Why? Well, because relationships take time. So sometimes I'm guilty of, and maybe you are too, of thinking to myself, or when I hear a message like this, or I read in the scriptures something, I think to myself, oh God, I want to have a relationship with you. God, I want to know you. God, I want to walk with you. Please bind my heart to yours. Cause me to seek after you. But in my life, I don't make choices to spend time with him. I get busy in the activities of life, in good things, but I get busy in the activities of life and I don't take the time. Well, listen, it just makes sense, both biblically and logically, that if you're going to have a relationship with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ, the only way that it can happen is if you spend time with him. If you take the time to walk with God, you say, Brother Tim, you're talking about devotions. Okay, let me let you in on a secret about Tim Thompson. I almost despise the word devotions. Not that it's not a good word, but it has become a word that signifies for us a checklist mentality of, hey, I got up, I read what I was supposed to read, I can go throughout the rest of the day without having a guilty conscience because I read what I'm supposed to have. Well, for crying out loud, try that with your wife. If you're not married and you're dating, try it with your boyfriend, with your girlfriend. Okay, it's Tuesday night. According to this book, on Tuesday night, we're supposed to go out on a date. Let's go. Take her someplace real fancy. McDonald's. You sit down across from each other and you pull out the note card. Hi. What's your favorite color? I don't know. Whatever questions you have down on the note card that you're supposed to ask. Okay, now look. I'm sorry. That doesn't cut it in a relationship. And it doesn't cut it in our relationship with God. Look, devotions or spending time with God is not just something that we check off so that we can be done for the rest of the day. If you and I are going to have a relationship with God, the reason for which we were created and the reason for which Jesus Christ died, if we're going to have a relationship with God, then yes, there must be time spent. That means looking and seeing what His Word has to say, His declared Word to us, and talking to Him. That means speaking regarding what's inside of us, our heart, and then listening to what it is He has to say. Don't just get in the habit of praying through a list. Lists are fine to remind us of the things for which we need to pray, but it means absolutely nothing if you're just reading down through a list of names and saying, Lord, I'm bringing these names before you. I'm sorry. Okay, look, that's silliness. That's silliness. Now, if you have a group of people for whom you're praying and you're saying, God, with each of these people, missionaries, God, I'm going to bring these missionaries before you. God, we need you to work through them, speak to them, help them, provide for them. Here's the people. This person. I don't know exactly what their needs are, but you do, God. Please be with them. It's not wrong to use a list, but to just go through to get it done. For crying out loud, folks, that's not what we're about. That's not a relationship. There's nothing more important than your relationship with God. Spend the time with God. Spend the time looking at His Word and talking to Him and listening to Him. One of the reasons why He tells us in Psalm 46:10 to be still and know that He is God is because in stillness we can hear His voice. In stillness He speaks to us. When we consider, when we think and listen, God speaks. Make sure it's God that you love. Ask God to increase your love. Spend the time. And then lastly, live it out. Live it out. Jesus Christ said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Here's the deal. The love that we have for God and the relationship that we have for God has to be lived out in our life. That is, it has to bear fruit in every part of our life, in the way we treat other people. Remember, the second commandment is like unto it, love your neighbor as yourself. Well, if you're in right relationship with God, then the heart that God has for other people, you're going to have for other people. And God loves people. Doesn't He? Okay, so then because of our love for God, we ought to love others. If our Lord was willing to sacrifice what He sacrificed for us when we were sinners, then our heart and our love for all other people ought to be lived out. That's important. Live out your love. A lot of times, believers, Christians who've been saved for a number of years, many of whom have grown up in church, become stagnant. We become stagnant in our life. We get to the place where we come to church and we do all the stuff we're supposed to do. We even desire God's relationship with God. We want to be what we ought to be and where we ought to be, but we get stagnant. And sometimes the reason is because we have income from the truth of God's Word and a relationship with Him and hearing preaching and things, but there's never any outflow. And if you have inlet but no outlet, then the water gets stagnant and so does the heart. Hey, listen, live out the love of the Lord Jesus Christ in your life. Don't say, God, I want to love you more, and then expect to be able to treat your brother in a cruel way. See, it doesn't do me any good to say, God, I want to love you, and then I yell at everybody that cuts me off in traffic. It doesn't cut mustard. It doesn't work. It doesn't happen that way. Okay. So there's nothing more important than my relationship with God. Nothing. If that is true, and it is, then make sure it's God that you love. Ask God to increase your love. Spend the time and live it out. Okay, now friends, let me tell you, if this truth from Matthew 22 in the words of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, if this will get into your heart, into your soul, into your mind, into your conscience. If you will allow the Holy Spirit of God to put this into you, then I guarantee upon the authority of the Word of God, your life will absolutely change for God's glory. We will not help but be able to see revival. If there's a group of people at Victory who love the Lord their God with all their heart, all their soul, all their mind, all their strength. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray that you'd preach these truths to our hearts over and over again.